The title of this message today is When It's Hard to Obey. Come on, ouch. You know, we all want our kids to obey, right? We tell them to do something and we expect them to listen and to do it. But how many of us, if we're honest, when God says to do something, we could come up with 101 excuses or reasons why it's like, oh man. So today we're gonna get into the word and we're gonna look at that topic about when it's hard to obey. And my heart is that when we leave the service today, not only has the Holy Spirit maybe revealed some areas in your life where you've fallen short in your obedience, but it gives you hope, and it gives you that want to be able to say, you know what, His mercies are new every morning, and tomorrow we're going hard at it, and we're going to get it right. Amen? Amen. Oh, geez, I hope this doesn't keep going off. All right. So, it's been said, can you see me okay? Okay. It's been said that life is not measured by time. In fact, life is measured in moments. And let me say that again. It's not measured in time. Life is measured in moments. And it's important this morning to me that you understand that. And it's true in many ways when you think about it, because you rarely remember a whole year, right? All 365 days. You rarely remember a whole month or a whole week. Or if you're like me, even a whole day or what I did 2 hours ago. I mean, come on now, right? All right. I like to be transparent so, you know, you're not alone. For example, some things that, moments that I can remember from my past week. I remember yesterday at our ladies' Christmas gathering, we took some time to kind of go around and just share some Christmas memories that we may have. I remember this week, it's hard to forget when my dog decided on a Friday night to jump on top of me, you know, because my smoke alarm was chirping in the middle of the night. How many know, why does that always happen in the middle of the night? It was fine all day, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, it starts chirping. So I remember that moment. And then I remember this month when I got a phone call that my oldest son was in a car accident. But I also remember the moment that I knew that he was okay. Amen? So that's a sweet moment. I remember the moment last month when we sang happy birthday to my husband. And when we sat down to take that first bite of Thanksgiving dinner after cooking for hours and hours and hours. But it just didn't hit. How many, come on. Ladies, you like cooking all day and you sit down and you're like, this is it? So I remember those moments. So today we're going to take a look at a very powerful moment of obedience, but I have one key thought, and that key thought is this, that you have no idea what God can do through one moment of obedience. I didn't even say the word yet. Y'all on it. All right. Thank you. All right. You have no idea what God can do through one moment of obedience. And some of you know that because at one time you've been prompted to do something, or you've been prompted to say something, or you've been prompted to give something, or and you did exactly that. You did something, you said something, and you gave something, and you look back and you're like, wow, I can't believe all that God said in that moment, in that small act of obedience, right? But then on the contrary, there are other times when we feel prompted to do something or say something and give something, and we make an excuse because maybe we don't know all the details and it's difficult and it's hard, or we just don't want to do it. And then something in the future causes us to look back and wonder, geez, if only I would have obeyed in that moment. Come on, right? Have you been on both sides of that this morning? And that's why I titled today's message, When It's Hard to Obey. So I'm going to dive into our very first portion of scripture. And yes, it is part of the Christmas story. So in Matthew's gospel, chapter 1, verse 18, it says this. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, chances are pretty good, right, that you're very familiar with the story of Mary, the Virgin Mary. But, you know, she gets all the stage time at Christmas time. Mary, 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 Mary. But today, I want to talk to you about Joseph, because he actually is one of the most important yet least talked about persons of the Bible. And one of the reasons he's not talked about, though, is because we just don't know a lot about him. He doesn't appear to live for his whole normal extended life. Did you know that? Another reason is we just don't know a lot is because there's just not a lot of sermons on him. But here's what we do know about Joseph from Scripture. Matthew 13:55 says this: we know that he was a carpenter. Matthew 1:19 says we know that he was a righteous and faithful man. Matthew 1:20 and Luke 2:4 says we know that he was a descendant of David. Matthew 1:16 says we know that he was Mary's husband. Matthew 13:55 says that we know that he was Jesus's earthly father. Outside of that, we don't hardly know anything else about him. But we do know that one moment of obedience helped bring about a change that impacts all of us today, right where you are today. One man's moment of obedience thousands of years ago is still impacting your life at this very moment. In fact, when we look at Joseph and we see him in Scripture, we do see a little bit about him in the early years of Jesus. And the last time he was mentioned in the Bible is when Jesus was 12 years old and he was at the temple. Remember, they left him there. They lost him. That's the last time you hear about Joseph in the Bible. Most scholars will believe that Joseph most likely died because if they would have been divorced, the Scriptures would have told us that. In fact, it does say that Jesus actually stayed at home and he didn't even enter ministry until he was the age of 30. And it was customary in those days that if your mother was a widow, you stayed at home, because he was the oldest child, until the age of 30, and you took on those responsibilities as the man of the house. So, you know, we know that there weren't any video games and he wasn't hunkered down in the basement, you know, playing video games to the age of 30, right? Amen. Well, yeah, glory. So, in fact, we do know even when Jesus was on the cross, right before he died, he said to John, "Will you take care of my mother?" He had the responsibility to take care of his mother. So in the context of our story, we just read that we know that he was engaged to Mary. And many of us think in today's culture, when we say engaged, we're talking 22 years old, 25, 26. But in fact, Mary was 14. And in fact, some scholars even believe that she may have been as young as 13 years of age when she was engaged to Joseph, which is young in our eyes, but back then it was very quite normal. And it says that she was a virgin that comes to him and says, "I'm pregnant," right? And when he hears this news, because Joseph knows he obviously hasn't been with her intimately, he would have been devastated. Come on, beyond measure. Men, come on, right? You were in that situation. Devastation. But even more than that, in first century Jewish engagement culture, when you got engaged, it wasn't just a proposal for like an Instagram moment, like hashtag ring in spring. Like, it wasn't any of that, right? When they were engaged in those times, it was actually a legal agreement when they were actually engaged. They were actually, or technically, they were married. At the moment of engagement, in that culture, you were considered married. You just were not allowed to consummate the marriage until you had the formal public ceremony. So are we getting a little bit of background about Joseph? So when we read that they were engaged, in our culture they were married. So if Mary was intimate with another man, this would be a life-ruining scandal for the both of them. Mary, the one who he loved with all of his heart, his future wife that he would raise his children with, she had disobeyed God. And she had totally dishonored her family. And she had disgraced Joseph, who would be laughed at and mocked and shunned in his community. It was considered such a horrible sin that according to Deuteronomy 22, Joseph could legally have her stoned to death. It didn't happen, but it was legal. He could have went there. But what was more common, and in his embarrassment so that he wouldn't be ashamed, where everyone said, yeah, Joseph, we know, you did it. Y'all did it, right? Before the ceremony. So to save him from that shame, he would bring her before the city council and they would declare her obviously guilty, you know, and that would clear his name. Now he had the right to do all this. I can't believe this. I mean, my future is down the drain. So to save my name for what I may need or will do in the future, he had all this available to him. And unfortunately, if he chose any of those paths, a woman in Mary's condition was pretty much destined to end up as a prostitute and just to give her body away. So he was in a horrible place. The woman of his dreams had apparently betrayed him. Come on, these are all humanist. I'm sure he had these thoughts. Come on, right? And now his next actions he knew would possibly ruin her life. He's in a conundrum. What do I do? But we know that he was a righteous man and he didn't want to disgrace her and he didn't want to shame her. And he thought about breaking off the engagement or divorcing quietly. And he didn't realize that at this was what probably up until that point was his lowest moment. Joseph didn't realize that it was about to become one of the holiest moments. Because scripture will tell us in Matthew 1 verse 20, it says this. And as he considered this, all his options, right? As he considered what Mary had said and was processing, it says he was thinking about divorcing and breaking the engagement. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Now, before we look at what he did do, I want to take a moment and talk about what Joseph didn't do in this moment. The angel of the Lord says, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And this is what he didn't do. He didn't explain away the dream saying, geez, man, that was a really spicy pizza I had last night. Come on. He didn't argue with God saying, wait a minute. You're asking me to put my name on the line and to trust a dream? I can't do that. He didn't negotiate with God and say, give me another sign. How about you send an angel maybe that, you know, has a tattoo on his forehead that says, word of the Lord, do what I say, right? He didn't do that. He didn't fight back and he didn't ask for details. He didn't decide to figure something else out on his own. Well, I know I could probably come up with something better than that, right? I've been there. He didn't go to three people and ask for their opinion on the matter. He didn't ignore the word of the Lord and just decide to do nothing. When the angel said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife," verse 24 says this, when Joseph woke up, watch this, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. And if there's one statement that I would want to be true of all of us sitting here today, it would be this, that whatever God commanded us to do, that we would just be obedient. Without understanding any details to come, he proves this thought, that you don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. You don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. You don't need every single detail. You don't need everything ironed out. You don't even need to know how it's going to end, because if God is in the beginning, he's already got the ending worked out. Amen? Because when you think about all Joseph didn't know in that moment, because he hardly had any information, he really didn't. He didn't, I mean, the angel just said, just don't be afraid and just do it. That's all he had. Think about all the details in that moment that Joseph didn't even know yet. I mean, we're really breaking this down. I really want us to get a feel for what this felt like for him. He didn't know that at 9 months or so of being pregnant, how could he, right? That there's going to be a decree that you had to go to Bethlehem and you had to be part of a census. That they were going to have to travel 100 miles, the Bible says, on donkey or horseback or camel or however they chose to get there. This is the moment that he obeyed. He didn't know any of this yet to come. Just to put it into perspective, 100 miles from here on horseback or camel would be like walking to Scranton. Would be like walking to Trenton, New Jersey, Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C. Come on, that's about 100 miles from here. In fact, scholars believe that Jesus was actually born during what was known as the wet or rainy season. So imagine a muddy, messy road trip with a pregnant, grumpy, come on, person riding on the back of a camel. With some belongings, because it's a road trip, right? There'd be wild animals on that journey. He didn't know that his baby was going to be born in a stable. He didn't know that not only just in a stable, but, you know, all of around all that comes with the stable and the livestock and, you know, every fill in the blank. And that Herod would issue a decree that all the boys under the age of 2 should be killed. And that they'd have to then turn around and go on the run again. I mean, these are the things in the moment when he was asked to obey, he didn't know. He didn't know that as they're holding their precious, protected baby, that other babies were being killed because of him. He didn't know that that was coming. Joseph had no idea the weight of raising the Son of God. And like I said, he didn't even know at that moment that he wasn't going to live a long life. So without knowing any details, he obeyed immediately. And this is how it will apply to you and me, because at some point, God is going to speak to you and to me through his word or through his spirit. And he's going to lead you or he's going to lead me to do something without knowing all the details. Maybe today you find yourself dating someone. And you know in this moment that that's probably not God's best for you. But maybe you hear something in today's message or the Holy Spirit just puts a prodding in your heart. And you realize, I can't marry the right person if I'm connected to the wrong one. And the Holy Spirit will even give you the breakup message. Come on. These are hard things. Are you willing to obey? Well, I've invested a lot of time and money in this person. I might have even put a ring on it. I don't know, right? But that's the cost of being obedient in a moment. Will we obey or will we not obey? Or God's been asking you with your giftings to serve in the church. Because, you know, we don't go to church. We are the church. And we all have giftings and we all have talents and abilities. And they're all important and they're all necessary to the body of Christ. We're all valuable. Will you obey? When somebody says, man, you got a good voice. I hear you sing every Sunday. Why don't you try out for the worship? Oh gosh, I could never do that. I could just never do that. Consider it. We don't just watch what happens in the kingdom of God. We are called to be a part of what happens in the kingdom of God. Amen. We're just not to sit and just be sponges. Amen. So when God prompts you to do something and you say, but I'm busy. I can't get in my devotions this morning. I still got an hour and a half left on my Facebook time that I've allocated every morning to get caught up to what happened overnight. Come on. But God's prompting you. He's asking you. Or he might lead you to give something, to bless someone. But God, it's really tight right now and it's the holidays and I still got to get, you know, 300 presents yet. And, you know, my mom was a single mom of five children. And you don't know how many times meals were put on our table because somebody obeyed and said, give. I remember one time as a young girl that it was just, I remember opening the door and they were like bags of groceries. I mean, it was like Christmas at our house because someone was obedient. I remember another time it was Christmas and yeah, I might've been 3 or 4 years old and you know, we didn't have a lot. Again, I remember, you remember them underoos? Like, I got Wonder Woman underoos. Come on. Yes, I did. Somebody felt led to sew gifts to the neighbor lady next door for her children. I remember that to this day, somebody's obedience. And it might have been insignificant at the moment, but it is, I'm 50, almost 50 years old. It's impacted me. I'll never forget that. Running around on my underoos thinking how I'm Wonder Woman. I'm just little things, little moments like that. I mean, don't take that out of your mind, that vision of that right now. I shouldn't have gone there, but. Obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's. We do what he leads us to do and we trust him with the results. Amen. And I think that, in my opinion, that's part of what we can struggle with is we got to know the details and we got to know the ins and the outs. And I got to know what this thing's going to look like in the end. And I got to know, is it going to be a hard road by the time I get there? And how long is it going to take, God? Is it going to take 40 minutes or 40 years? I ask those questions. I want to know those things. And you know, probably 99.99% of the time, I don't get it. Any details. It's trusting. It's faith. It's being obedient. Amen? We know that when God brought the Israelites out, it was just to be a couple days' journey. But because of the disobedience and all that ensued in that, it ended up being 40 years. And a whole generation of people had to die out. Because of it. But even in their disobedience, God made sure that their shoes didn't wear out. Amen. Because he loved them. He still wanted to take them to where he wanted them to go. But it just took longer to get there than it was supposed to. And they went through a whole lot of stuff that was never his design. He never intended for that to go that way. If they just would have been obedient in the moment. Joseph didn't have all the details. And he did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. In fact, Joseph has an obedience that actually outshines many other people in the Bible. And here's a few. Moses, he was called upon as an 80-year-old shepherd to lead an exodus. But what do we hear from Moses in the Bible? 5 excuses before he finally submits to the will of God. He says, I'm not good enough. I don't have all the answers. People won't believe me. I'm a terrible public speaker. I'm not qualified. Gideon, remember when God wanted him and called him to deliver Israel from the Midianites? His excuse, well, the people that you've surrounded me with, we're just like, they're too weak. We're outnumbered. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, and he gave God 2 excuses of why he felt like he couldn't be a prophet. And he said, I'm too young and I just can't speak. Jonah, when God called him to Nineveh to preach the gospel, he fled to Tarshish instead. And we know what happened there. And then Amos, who also was called to be a prophet, he said, I don't have credentials to be a prophet, God. See, God had big things in store for his people, but he needed obedient people. Do you know God uses people to bless you? I think Pastor said that a couple weeks ago. He needs you and I to be obedient to his word and to his will, because there are other people that their salvation may be connected to your obedience. Their deliverance may be connected to your obedience. The way you live your life is directly connected to your witness that makes people say, I want what you got. How's it working for you? I know the stuff that went down in your life this past week. How are you still smiling? Come on, you don't know in a moment. God needs us to be obedient. But you know, at the same turn, the enemy would rather you not be obedient, because just like God uses people, he needs people too. The enemy needs people to do his bidding. Oh, if I can get you to question and to doubt and to make excuses and then just not do anything and sit on it because it doesn't make, and you don't know ABC, everything we've been talking about. It could cause someone to not hear the gospel message and spend eternity in hell. It's a real thing. God's not interested in our guilt-ridden excuses. He wants to be obeyed. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. And then the angel of the Lord continued, and he said this, and this is so powerful. For this child within her, the child within Mary, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It was a miraculous holy birth conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And why does this even matter? Why are we even talking about this? Because if this child, Jesus, was conceived by the seed of Joseph, he would have had the sinful seed nature that is passed on from person to person, just like you and I. That's why God had to go over and above. It wasn't just good enough that Jesus was born of a man. He had to have something different in him. Amen? And because he didn't inherit the sin nature of man, but instead inherited the spiritual nature of God, Jesus was born without sin, and he could live without sin so he could be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of you, for your sins and for mine. And that's the gospel message. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I need every day the grace. I need forgiveness. I need what that work that Jesus did on Calvary, I need it every day in my life. Amen. I need his grace. I need his forgiveness. And this morning, I don't know what maybe you're battling with or what your sin is, But I want to encourage you this morning that maybe if you're battling lust, there's grace for that. Or jealousy, he'll forgive you for that. Or if you're dealing with unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart, you know he has forgiven you of so much. But there's no sin that is too great for the grace and the mercy and the love of God. He was born of a virgin without sin so that he could die and that he could become that sacrifice for our sins. And the angel said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And he just obeys, knowing that there will be a significant cost and that he's going to probably face some serious opposition. We already know. We talked about it. Okay, I'm just going to have to say yes. And the rest is just going to be on God. As a parent, how many of you have ever, God has just, you know, you see your kids kind of going through a season and you're like, dang, that's not good. That is not good. And I can tell you till I'm blue in the face, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't listen to that. Get away from them people. I forget what I was going to say. It was good. It was really good. It'll come back to me. Oh, I know. There's just in that as a parent, and it grieves your heart. Sometimes, just like God has to do with us, he says, look, man, I love you so much. I don't want to see you doing that. But I've prompted you, and I've talked to you. I've sent people your way to speak wisdom into your life, and you still choose to just not obey. And what happens, happens then, right? And that's hard as a parent. I've had to deal with that recently, to sit back and say, I mean, I pray, because I know God hears my prayers, and I already have testimonies from my other children that when I didn't know where they were, he knew where they were, amen? And they sit in the house of God today. But that's hard, that we have to obey and trust God, that God, you just send the perfect witness, and that's been my prayer. You send somebody to them that they will listen to, because it's not God's heart that they go astray and they end up in hell. Amen? His grace is sufficient for that. And it's hard as a parent in those moments when God has, and he's told me, back off. You just got to back off. I can say it till I'm blue in the face. Will you trust me? Pray for them, but take your hands off of them. That's hard. That's hard to do. And when I'm not obedient and I've tried to fix, I'm a fixer, I can try to fix people and fix things and fix situations, it just never turns out right. Amen? At any time, and almost every time God prompts you and gives you a word, or he gives you direction and he speaks to you through his word or by his spirit, almost every time he asks you to obey, you're going to be met with opposition. Write it down. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that when he says to give that $100, that there's going to be some sort of opposition. Wait, what? It's going to happen. My mother, in the 80s, she was called to ministry. And she decided to go to her pastor and say, Pastor, I feel led. I'm called to ministry and I want your blessing. And you know, what can I do here to serve in the church in that capacity? She was being obedient to the voice of the Lord. It's time. It's time to enter ministry. Okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna have the meeting. The opposition. The pastor said, I'll release you, but I won't support you because you're a woman. Opposition. But she didn't just say, oh, wow, geez, okay, I guess. She didn't sit back and that wasn't okay. She was obedient, and she forged ahead. And I'm thank God every day that she didn't just sit down and do nothing. How many of you know my mom or knew my mom? Right? And if she would have just decided to take that back seat and just say, well, I don't know, maybe it was the pizza last night. She wouldn't have raised 5 children, one of which pastors this house. Amen? There's always going to be opposition when we choose to obey. Pastor, I'm tattletaling, but not really. No, I'm building you up. Amen? He, at the age of 9, was called to start leading worship in the children's church. You know, instead of out playing in the playgrounds and playing sports and all the stuff that comes with being a 9-year-old little boy, he decided to have put a piano in his bedroom and learn to play worship songs and play church. That's what he did. Did you have opposition? Yeah, he did. When he'd go to school and, well, aren't you playing sports and this, that, and the other thing? And what are you playing the piano? Worship? Playing church? That's weird. Opposition. At 9 years old, can you feel the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit at 9 years old? I hope so. I hope so. At the age of 14, he started ministering the gospel on a Sunday morning. Again, opposition, not normal. Not normal to the world standards. I remember my mom got a lot of flack for that. He's too young. He's not even through junior high school. What does he know? Then at the age of 19, in fact, on April 18th, 2004, he was called to plant a church at the age of 19. Opposition ensued. Again, weird. What are you doing? Living this life of ministry since the age of 9? Unheard of. In 2021, he was called to start a faith-based television and media network with no funding, no education, no training. And you know, today, the Pioneer Network reaches 143 million homes around the world. Do you know that? He got some opposition. He had to trust the Holy Spirit for everything that he did. Wait, I got a call. Okay, I got a call. Jensen Franklin's. How do I do that, God? Wait, I got a call. Kenneth Copeland's. How do I do that? Right? Opposition. And even after being told time and time again, why don't you charge for it? Make money off of it. No, the gospel message should be free. Have you said that? It should be free. The gospel message needs to be free. It needs to be available 24/7 because you don't know at 1:47 in the morning who's going to need something. Amen? And if you haven't downloaded the Pioneer app, it is free. But you know, you will find some of today's leading voices, such as Rod Parsley, Jensen Franklin, Rick Renner, Marilyn Hickey, Perry Stone, Mike Murdoch, Kenneth Copeland, Paula White. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. Team, you can come. But in obedience, when it's hard, when he doesn't understand, God, how is this you? How is this going to happen? What is this going to look like? If God would have told you in the first 5 minutes that he spoke that word to you and said, just stay with me. Clicked his heels together and took off running and maybe even decided to charge for the gospel. I don't know. but he was obedient in the moment. And he may never know until he gets to heaven one day how many people will stand there and wait for the man who started Pioneer Network, because you don't know, when I needed it, it was there. And I'm here because of it. Amen? So this is what is what's going to happen. When God speaks to you to obey, you may need to step away from the pact and say, God has led me to stop partying. God's led me to find a new group of friends. God's led me to put down the drugs or the alcohol. I feel that the unction of the Holy Spirit that I need to do this. Can I just tell you that it's not going to be easy? We know that. It may be lonely, especially if you are called to find a new group of friends, because again, the enemy will use people, right? You may need to find a new group of friends. And it may feel lonely for a season, but you need to be encouraged. You need to be encouraged. You do, and you're obedient to what God says. And you just watch. You will look back and you'll say, man, I didn't know in the moment, but look at all God has done. Look what he delivered me from, because you don't know what Satan has planned for you tomorrow. He may have traps that he sent for you as a 7-year-old little boy, saying on December, whatever tomorrow's date is, I'm taking you out. You realize that? That's how calculated he is? And in a moment this morning, when the Holy Spirit is telling you, man, this message is for me, it's hit me hard. Today, go home and do an about 180-degree turn and an about face. And tomorrow you tell your friends, I'm too busy for you. I got things to do. Because again, you don't know. You just don't know. Amen? Maybe this morning God's prompting you to just get real stupid generous, and instead of giving your 10% this morning in your tithes and offerings, you're going to give 12 or 20 or 50. Amen? There's blessing attached to that. Why would you forfeit the blessing of God and not give tithes and offerings? Listen, don't worry when you face opposition for your obedience to God. Worry when you don't. Worry when you don't obey God. Obedience will be difficult. It may even cost you in the early season. But you have no idea what God can do through one moment of obedience. And the angel of the Lord said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And Joseph did just as the angel of the Lord commanded. A moment. Life is measured in moments. And that's my prayer for you this morning as you leave here. Even in a moment of worship, do you know what God can do in a moment? When he says, just raise your hands for the first time. He honors that. And you know, the breakthrough that you've been praying for may come in that very moment of obedience. Just obey. We don't need to know everything and how it's going to happen or how it's going to turn out. But if you can back it up with the scriptures, obey. Okay, God, I'm just doing it. I'm jumping in and I'm obeying. Amen.